You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build a social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I have Melissa Maloney here. And Melissa is the founder of Happy Leader Enterprises and the co-founder of All Women Lead. She's developed a passion for helping others find happiness at a young age and now helps leaders do the same. As a child of adversity, Melissa had used her personal story to impact the lives of others, and she's so passionate about empowering women and youth to achieve more. And there couldn't be more perfect timing for this podcast to happen, this episode to come out. So thank you so much, Melissa, for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I wanted to first jump into finding out a little bit more of your story. So Melissa and I, just to give all our listeners here a bit of a background, Melissa and I used to work together in the corporate fitness world, and Melissa has really gone on to use her passions to impact the lives of others through being the founder of the Happy Leader Enterprises. So I really wanted to dig into how this came about and how helping people in this way and empowering people became a passion for you.
For sure. It's funny because I've always wanted to help people. When I say that my probably started when I was about 14, and I've just always made the choice to be happy myself. And people sometimes say it's fake, but it is actually authentic. And I really never understood why other people would do things in their lives that made them unhappy. And so it led to me starting my career in social services. And then I accidentally fell into fitness. But again, that same passion towards happiness has always been something that's driven me. I wanted my staff to be happy, and I wanted the people who worked for me to be happy, and I wanted the members to be happy, because I just really, truly have a passion for helping people find fulfillment and satisfaction in life.
And so what do you think led to this in terms of, I guess, your personal story? You said at 14, this sort of light bulb went off. Why do people lead unhappy lives? Was there anything that happened for you that sort of brought that out?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't grow up in the best of households. My dad left when I was 3. My mom was diagnosed with cancer when I was 8. She died the same year. So then we moved back in with my dad, who we didn't know. And like a lot of people, I grew up in a household with an alcoholic father, and he was abusive. And I always say he was mean. And he wasn't a great guy. And I struggled with that when I was younger, but I always stood up to him. It was something, I don't know why I did. That's the piece I can't explain, but I always stood up for him. I always fought for my sister and my stepmom. And at 14, I moved out because I made the decision that I wasn't dealing with it anymore. And again, I don't know where I got the courage to do it. I don't understand it. I just knew it wasn't right, that I have a really high sense of justice, and I knew it wasn't right that that was what was happening. And so I left, and it's funny. I never even thought twice about it. I worked full time all through high school, and I just did what I needed to do. What shifted for me as I got older was my initial intention was to prove to him I didn't need him. And as I got older, I realized that that wasn't a healthy thing to keep doing. And so then it became, what is this actually about? But I really, truly, it led me to have such a high sense of helping people take ownership in their lives and not settle and not feel like and not play victim to circumstances, because we do have a lot of power and control. And by no means do I want anybody to have the life that I had growing up, but mm-hmm. I also don't want people to feel stuck in their lives. So I use my story when it helps to help people realize they do have more power and control than what they think.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And I really appreciate you sharing that with me and our listeners. I think sometimes our stories are what connect us. And oftentimes people just hearing that story will see something in themselves. And that emotional connection helps us push forward and make those decisions that, you know, help better our lives. So I think, you know, the sharing of stories is so important. And so how do you think that that experience helped shape you into like what you're doing now and how you help people now?
It's interesting because when I worked in social services, it was obviously a really direct cause and effect. I worked with kids that were in group homes. I worked with kids that had been abused or were into drugs and things like that. So it was very much, these were challenged kids who needed support to get to the future. And then when I started working in fitness, I did them both at the same time for a while. And I really saw that same correlation. It was like these, I always wanted to help people lead better lives. And what we do with adults in the fitness world is the exact same thing. We're helping people understand that their circumstances don't need to be their outcome. And so I just kind of took that same approach where I was like, well, let me just figure out how I can help you live a better life. And that's what I did with the kids, is I figured out how to help them have a better life. And I just took those, that same skill set. And I think what it did for me was I always sold with the purest of intention. There was never a point in time when I was selling that I was selling for me. I always sold for the person sitting in front of me. And it wasn't about sales. It was 100% about helping them. And I think that just natural intention about helping came through. And that's why I was successful at it. And then as I transitioned into leadership, I took that same approach with my leadership, was how can I help these people be successful in their careers? How can I serve them? And I didn't know the term servant leadership at the time. But that was ultimately what I was doing, was I knew my satisfaction came from getting other people what they wanted. And so that's how I led.
And so I think it's interesting that, you know, how people can start in a certain career because it like scratches an itch, and how we can evolve into these different aspects that, you know, either help get us more clear on scratching that exact itch, like the exact location of where that is, and feeling like certain roles and certain responsibilities and leadership can help be fulfilling in different ways. Because I sometimes think they can feel pigeonholed. They're like, well, I started out in this industry and I can't make a shift. And I always love hearing stories about how people have, in a way, it's like you take your career as a savings account, and it's things you collect up along the way to really figure out what you're truly passionate about so that you can get closer and closer and closer to doing just more of the things that you absolutely love.
100%. 100%. And that's even with the Happy Leader Enterprises, it's that same thing. It's now just evolved into how can we take this level of leadership and expand it and get more people leading from the perspective of serving, and getting leaders to really take ownership over the fact that it's up to them to create an environment that people want to be a part of. And the whole craze about let's feed people and have ping pong tables and I think it's coming to an end. I think people are realizing that's not what people are looking for, and that people are looking for relationships and trust and values being met and that internal satisfaction. And I really think in the fitness industry, we just have such a huge opportunity to fill that piece. So whether it's with our members and our clients or with our teams.
Yeah, I think a couple of things you made me think of there. I worked for a fitness company out west, and it was, like you're saying, sort of all the shiny bells and whistles. Like, we're going to pay for you to go to Whistler. It's all inclusive. It's this, it's that. There's all these different things going on. But at the end of the day, like that value alignment just wasn't there. And ultimately, all those things, you know, are nice that putting all those things out there, you know, we got a ping pong table, we got parking, we do your laundry, a lot of these companies in Silicon Valley. But at the end of the day, ultimately, it's like, it's a relationship wherever you decide to put your time with a career. Ultimately, if those values don't align, you will always feel dissonance. And it's funny because sometimes we're led to believe that it's the money, it's this, it's that, I should go for this job because it's more, or it's a raise. And these sort of things sort of cloud our judgment. But ultimately, as the more that you interview the places that you work and the company cultures you want to work for, if that breakdown is not there, that you guys don't share the same values, it's never going to feel right. It's always going to feel like just putting in your time.
100%. And there's so much science around, I talk a lot about the energy systems. And so Harvard Business Review has done some massive studies around employee engagement and the connection to the energy system. So we think about physical energy, mental energy, emotional energy, and spiritual energy. And the fact that if we can serve the energy systems, people will actually be engaged in the workplace. And so it's looking at what are the things that lead to those energy systems being served. So if we look at physical energy as an example, it's little things. It's the opportunity to physically move throughout your day because so many people are tied to a desk. And it's funny, I think we take for granted when in working in fitness for so long, the fact that we use physical energy to our advantage. If somebody's having a bad day, saying, go for a run, go for a workout is just a normal response. But in most businesses, that's not a normal response. So it's like, how can we create an environment that allows people to actually move throughout the day? How can we use our physical state to change things? Emotional energy is about trust. And if you think about it, if you don't trust your employer, if you don't trust the people who you're working for, think about how draining that is. Like I always say, think about a relationship that you were in at some point that you didn't have trust in that relationship and how hard that was and how much energy you put into it. This is why people are going home at the end of the day exhausted. Because they're expending this energy into unsecure and unsafe workplaces. And we need to fix that because it's so controllable. And it's just one of my posts that I put up this week, my hashtag was be a good human, because I'm just like, just be a good human. Like, if we were good humans, it would be fixed. But the reality is there's so many pieces that come into doing that. So that's where the method was created, where it's like, okay, here's some tools that you can use to actually execute managing these four energy systems for yourself to put you in a position to do it for others.
Love that. Okay. So we've got the physical energy, we've got emotional energy. What are the other two? I know you said spiritual was one.
Spiritual and mental. So mental energy, it's the ability to actually prioritize tasks and to actually have time to focus on the things that are most important. So if you think about the workplaces nowadays, we're so busy, there's so much going on that again, it causes drain in the energy systems, because if every time you go to do something that you know is important, you get distracted and pulled away into something else, when your phone goes off and you're like, ah, like that response, that's the mental, because we've all been there because it's so busy now. And then the spiritual is the connection to the mission and purpose and actually understanding the value of what you do and connecting for people the value of how they serve a customer and really helping people understand that.
Wow. So interesting. So with these four energy systems, then when they get into alignment, what happens? Like, what is the benefit of all those four things being in alignment?
If we can help people, I always say, start with yourself. If we can help satisfy those four energy systems for ourselves, that is actually going to put us in a position to still have energy left at the end of the day. Okay. I always say, if at the end of the day, when you're done your workday, you have nothing left to give, there's something broken in there. You shouldn't be so spent and exhausted at the end of the day that you have nothing left to give. And this is what's happening in society now, is people are, they're exhausted. And so they're so tired, they're going home, whether it means they're crashing on a couch for the night or they're not playing with their kids, and then they feel guilty. And then it's like this whole vicious circle. How do I get out of it? And I always, like, I talk about the energy systems initially as a self-management system, because we have to, as a leader, and we've all been there, we can remember those. I should clarify, I define leadership as anybody with influence over other people. So that's parents, that's coaches, it's personal trainers. It doesn't need to be somebody with a leadership title. And if we think about it, if we're not in the position, if we're not maximizing our own energy systems, how do we have energy to give to other people? Like, we can't give it away if we don't have it ourselves. And again, I had a lot of stuff happening in my life last year, and I teach fitness classes still. I had to stop teaching because I needed my workouts to be about me. I didn't have the energy to give to the people participating in my class because I had nothing left to give. Mm-hmm. And so it's recognizing those things in ourselves that we can't lead if we don't have any energy to lead with.
I think the, like, all of these energy systems completely make sense. And I think with the state of things right now, with how everyone is feeling, like, this connection around spiritual energy, connection to the mission and to the purpose is one of those things. Like, a lot of people question, like, should I show up online? I don't know what to say. It doesn't feel like a good time to be selling anything to anyone. And it's like, it's not about that at all. It's about this connection to the bigger purpose, the bigger mission, and serving people so they can help themselves through, you know, navigating these waters and uncharted territory that we haven't been through before. But I could see how that spiritual connection is, I mean, so, so important that we really embody that. And, you know, we give it out there as well as get it back, like the right influence is coming in too. Because I'm sure there's, you know, many things you can put on the news and listen to that drains that energy just as quickly.
It's so hard right now. Like, I'm watching people right now and it's like, nope, I don't think anybody knows what to say. And it's hard. It's none of the word unprecedented has probably never come out of my mouth so many times as it has in the last week. And I just think the reality is, especially right now, people are scared. Unknown is more than what it's ever been, where we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone today. And when we think about what that does for us mentally and spiritually, we're going to have less energy to give, because those are all things that cause us to, like, that level of worry, that level of stress all drains us. I have on my website, it's a productivity calculator, but it's ultimately an energy calculator. And one of the things I'm big on is we have to do more things that fill us up with energy every day than things that drain us of energy. So we've got to look right now and recognize that if we're being drained right now, if our cell phone battery is almost empty, what are we doing to charge it back up? And so it's doubly hard right now because we're telling people to stay away from people. We're telling people to not do those things. So I really look at it as leaders and as people who have social presence. Somebody has to be the person putting out the messaging around belief and around trust and around, like, taking care of yourself. And somebody has to take control over that positive messaging to help fill people back up right now. And so I'm watching my tone, but I'm still putting out positive messages every single day because I think people need to hear it and they need to believe that we're going to get through this.
Absolutely. It reminds me too of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where that basic human need for survival, I can only assume on that chart of needs of when we look at that, the ones around, you know, survival, being able to pay the bills, all of those things are much more of an energy consumer. Versus once you get to the higher levels of being able to focus on the nice things of purpose and all those other things. So there's probably a bit of that shift going on as well for people.
Yeah. And I think, again, if we look at that spiritual that you were mentioning, it's how can we fill that up right now? What are our opportunities to fill that up? And, like, I know in my community, there's a ton of business people trying to support other business people through free online webinars and through all these different things to try and help small business owners survive this. Mm-hmm. And I'm on a panel tomorrow that's about marketing and communications. So what does that tone sound like right now? What's that look like right now? Because it isn't going to be a time where you can't sound salesy. I know you talk about the hey girl messages. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of stuff I can't stand on a good day. And now, that's not the right tone. So it's like, what does that look and sound like right now? How can we connect with people on a better level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's just so spot on that, when it comes to the interactions and the the hey girl messaging and all that stuff that happens, this is really where it's time to dig deep and to really think about how you can help others and serve, and that language needs to reflect it. That authenticity needs to be absolutely as well. So that is definitely a huge part of this. And I think sometimes people do struggle with, well, what do I say instead? And that's, of course, that's where the training and teaching and all that stuff comes into play. I know the other area for you that is a really big factor in what you teach is all about productivity. So I'd love to dive into what you teach around that as well.
For sure. So ultimately, the concept is that once we maximize our energy levels and actually put ourselves in a position to have energy to give, then we can start to prioritize the things that are most important. So I talk about prioritization from the perspective of where we spend our time and where we spend our money are true greatest priorities. Whether and if we're spending more of our time and money on things that aren't actually the things that are most important to us, that's where guilt and that lack of alignment between what we actually want and what we're doing starts to come into play. And that's where we start to, again, hit the drain button. Because if we're spending all of our time and money on things that aren't really what we value, then it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And that's where we start to feel resentment and all those things. But once we identify those things that are most important to us, then we can actually use those energy systems to our advantage. So I describe it as I call it the bike analogy. So if you think about, so everybody talks about time blocking. So I instead say, don't time block, energy block. So if you think about it, when you're riding a bicycle and you go down a hill, when you're going down the hill, it's easy. Like the pedals go faster than your feet, like you move without any effort. When you're spending your time on things that are your strengths or the things that fill you up, that's what that feels like. You could do it forever. It's easy. Nothing's holding you back. And inevitably, at the bottom of every hill, there's always an uphill. And that uphill is what it feels like when you're focusing on things that are draining you, when you're focusing on those weaknesses. You start to ride a bike up the hill. Initially, you have momentum from that downhill. But then as you start to go up the hill, it gets harder and harder and harder and harder. And usually by the time you get to the top, you've either got off your bike to walk it, because we've all done that, or we take a break at the top. And so if we think about the tasks and the things we have to do in our day, if we start our day with one of the things that we don't enjoy or one of those things that drain us, we're already at that uphill where we now need a break. Mm-hmm. And so instead, if we look at doing something that fills us up, sandwiched with something that drains us, and then something that fills us back up, we can actually then use our energy systems to keep us moving throughout the day and never hit that point where we feel empty, because we fill ourselves up to start, we pull some of that energy down, but then we fill it right back up. Mm. And really recognizing it takes some time to figure out what are those things that fill us up and what are those things that drain us, because there's always going to be stuff that drains us. That's the reality. If somebody can figure that out, let me know. But so how do we use that to our advantage? Instead of, if we think about it from a sales perspective, it's the exact same thing. If you get rejected, 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 at some point, you're not going to do things with any level of energy and excitement. Instead of trying to keep going and trudging through that hard line of rejection, stop, do something that fills you back up, get that energy level reboosted, and then start again.
Love that. Yeah, I've heard these theories before of get up in the morning and start with the hardest thing. And that just felt so brutal to me, thinking that's the last thing I want to do. I time block in the morning for meditation, reading. I used to I think a lot of us probably wake up and check my phone, which was a total energy suck, especially when you're dealing with customer service stuff, or you're jumping right into your inbox to see how should I feel today and all that stuff. And as soon as I blocked all that out and decided to focus on, okay, I'm going to get my workout in, I'm going to do my meditation, I'm going to eat breakfast, I'm going to do this, it just really changed that energy I had to tackle the rest of the day. I noticed a big difference with that. So I'm really glad that you said that, because I think that that's a really, success always leaves clues. And this is one thing I found in my routine that has made me feel a lot better about the rest of the day.
Yeah. And it's even at the end of the day, don't finish your day with a down. Because if you finish your day with that thing that drains you, no wonder and this is a good tip even for clients. Right? If you're finishing your day with a down, no wonder nobody wants to go to the gym at the end of their day. It's way easier to go home and sit on the couch if the last thing you did took so much effort that you were then exhausted. It really is recognizing our bodies are energy and using them to affect our state and using them to affect our mindset as well. You picture somebody like a Tony Robbins, when he's getting ready to go on stage, he's jumping around like a crazy man. He's physically pumping himself up and changing his state. We can do the exact same thing throughout our day. And that's why we need to move. They say it's every 90 minutes. So every 90 minutes, your body naturally goes through an ebb and flow of energy. So every 90 minutes, if you can move every 90 minutes, you're much more likely to stay filled up. And I think, so from a productivity standpoint, where all of this comes in is, if we can eliminate the amount of time that we're distracted, and if we can eliminate the amount of time that we're off focus because we're drained, you think about when you're drained, especially right now as everybody's working from home, you start to get distracted and drained. It's like, oh, maybe I'll go get a snack. Oh, maybe I'll look at my phone just for a second. And all those things start to happen that then pull productivity down, productivity down, productivity down. If you keep yourself in a state of focus, you're going to get more done, so that then when you leave work, it's done. That's my ultimate goal, is that when people go home, they can shut it down and they can actually take time to properly renew. Because right now, that's not what the world we're living in.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a big switch, going from being in an office to then all of a sudden working from home. That is definitely something, it doesn't always come naturally with the boundaries. And I think that brings up my next point about strategies. So what are some of the strategies you use for, I guess, the strategies for increasing your productivity?
So one of them is obviously the energy blocking. So I'm a big believer in, I call it scheduled strategy. So one of the things, so we didn't talk about this at the beginning, and I usually sort of start with this. Technology, as much as it's been put in our lives to make our lives easier, it's made our lives a lot more challenging, because we're way more accessible than we've ever been. People can get us all the time. But because we're so accessible, we're actually now less available than we've ever been. People can reach us a million different ways, but we don't have time to actually have human connection. So one of the things that I really talk about is trying to create consciousness in our decision-making, because they say, a Stanford study says that we make 35,000 decisions every single day. So if we've got that many decisions coming at us, the reality is we've become much more reactionary. We just, we react, we react, we react. And when we do that, we're not necessarily making the best decision. So I say with scheduled strategy, whether it's Fridays, whether it's Sundays, whether it's Monday morning, whatever it is, either the end of the week or your start of the week, actually sit down and plan out your time and think about the energy blocking. Think about the things that energize you. So I always say, start with you, put the you stuff in first, schedule those things out. Once you do that, then schedule out your most important things. Those, the tools that I teach around prioritization and identifying what are those most important things. You schedule those things out next. And it's not that you're going to stick to the schedule, because that's not reality, but it is about creating, slowing it down enough that if you were to call and be like, hey, Mel, want to do dinner tonight? If I know I've got a schedule, I have to actually stop and look at it. And now I'm making a conscious decision as to whether or not this is the best choice, and does it outweigh the priority that I'd already booked in? And you know what? Sometimes I might drop something that's important to me to do something that might not be as important what I initially planned. And that's okay, but it's a conscious decision. We're so fast right now. We need to create ways to slow ourselves down. And so that's one of my biggest strategies that I teach around that is book it out, not with the intention of being written in stone. It really is about just creating consciousness for yourself so that you can make the best decisions that are actually decisions.
Wow. Yeah, I really like that. And I've heard actually Pat Flynn talk about setting a timer throughout his day, just as a reminder to be like, am I working on what I said I would? And it's not a slap my own wrist here, but it's more of that consciousness of what am I really doing right now? I love the idea of, I remember back in, I guess it would have been 15 years ago now, I read the book, The 4-Hour Work Week by Timothy Ferriss. And this was when Bill and I had made this decision, like, okay, we're going to rent out our house. We're going to move to Vietnam. This is what we're going to do. But it came from this idea that not everybody in their work week takes 40 hours to accomplish the same tasks. And when given a time limit of, I have this much time to accomplish this, and then when the bell goes off, that's it. It just makes you just much more aware of the decisions you're making during that time frame to get something done versus, you know, I'm going to sit at my desk from 9 to 5 and we'll see what happens, you know, without that schedule, without those priorities. So that very much is in, it aligns with that sort of thinking as well, like just really needing to be conscious throughout your day.
100%. Yeah. And I just think we just need those little triggers that are going to get us actually, it's just bringing things into consciousness because we just go. That's the reality. I always talk about the fact that it's busy has become a badge of honor for some reason. How are you? Busy. What's going on? Oh, I'm busy. Like, is that, I don't even know what busy means. But there's, we all know people who are always busy, but they don't actually do anything. And I really think we need to move away from being so caught up in being busy and actually be fulfilled and actually be satisfied with life. And if we're so busy that we don't have time to do those things that bring us fulfillment and satisfaction, why? And I'm a busy person, 100%. Like I wear lots of hats and I do lots of things, but I do things that fill me up. I do things that I get satisfaction from. But I know there's a whole other group of people who don't have enough hours in their life to do the things that they're getting satisfaction from because they're so busy doing the things on the checklist to the adrenaline feeling of checking something off. But we tend to check off the easy stuff, not the most important stuff.
That's so true. It does feel satisfying to feel like, oh, I'm checking this off. But then you get into that, at least I have, into that syndrome of the carryover from the day before, where you're just writing the same things over and over again. And really, if you were just to be strategic about it, pick one, the most important one or two things, I've actually found myself to be much more productive and focusing on it that way. Because then you feel good when you're like, okay, I've got that done. I can maybe pick up one more task or whatever, looking at it that way versus just constantly rewriting that to-do list or
seeing it just pop up. There's a system out there. I don't know a ton about it, but there's a system out there that if you've had the same thing on your list for more than 30 days, you're supposed to just get rid of it. Like you're, because is it actually that important? If you keep passing it day after day after day after day and move it along your list for a month, is it actually something that you truly have any desire to accomplish? Which it's a good way to look at it because I know I've had stuff on my to-do list for periods of time where I'm just like, I'm just going to get rid of this because I'm not going
to. Yeah, absolutely. And so what would you say, I always love asking people this question, what would you say are the top three most influential books that you've read that you found have made the biggest difference in, it could be, I mean, leadership, energy, or productivity?
Oh, three. Okay. I read a lot. I think one of the books that I quote a lot is Robin McGraw's first book. So Dr. Phil's Wife. I feel like it's called Where the Heart Is. It's something along those lines. One of the things that she speaks about in that book is about the fact that her mom, she's from an alcoholic father, and her mom fought really hard for her kids her whole life, but never took care of herself. And then after she finally left her dad when she was, I think, 60, she died very shortly after that. And Robin learned at that point that the most important thing she could ever do for her kids was be alive for them.
So, and that one's called Inside My Heart.
Inside My Heart. That's it. I'm like, there's heart in the title. That book to me just struck a chord. Business book, I always say Influencer, is probably one of my all-time favorite books. And that one's really about how getting other people, influencing the behaviors and actions of other people, which I think is just really important to sort of understand how other people think. And there is a new book that I just finished reading. Oh, I might need to send you the title, but it's by the Conscious Leadership Group.
Okay.
And they have a YouTube channel. They've got a whole bunch of things. And what they've ultimately done is taken a whole bunch of other leadership theories and put them all in one book.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. They refer to like David Allen's Getting Things Done. Mm-hmm. They refer to so many different of the top leadership books, but their whole concept is they have a really in-depth model. They draw a line, and above the line, you're in a conscious leadership state, and below the line, you're not. And so it really is about just that ability to recognize where you are. Are you operating above the line or below the line? And really simple ways to explain things. And they give you some really cool tools as well.
Wow. That's really cool. There's so many good books out there. It's awesome that they've pulled that all together.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
What they've done. And they're super, like, everything they get, all the resources are free, which is also sweet. Wow.
Is it the 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership?
That is the one.
Amazing. Okay, cool. I'm definitely going to look into that one. I haven't read that one yet. That's awesome. So, Melissa, when people want to find you or follow you, reach out to you, where's the best place for them to do that?
No, there's so many ways. So I'm on all the social channels. Twitter, I'm at @thehappyleader1. I have to find that other person. On Instagram, I'm @thehappyleader. And my website is happyleader.ca.
Perfect. And if you had mentioned a productivity chart, so if people wanted to find that, that would be at
www.happyleader.ca. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, Melissa. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm putting on a masterclass, and this is really for social sellers ready to get off the hey girl hamster wheel, especially at a time like this. It's so important that we have a strategy of how we can actually help people. And so this masterclass is a 4-part formula on inviting and how to get people to authentically come to you so that you're not using that sort of sleazy and salesy, commission breathy, hey girl hustle. Like, now is not the time for that. It's the time for a softer approach, a servitude approach, and something much different. So I'd love for you to join me on this masterclass. You can go to ashleyshaw.ca/masterclass and register for that. And in doing so, not only will you get the reminder of when the call is and the login information, but we'll also send you a recording of the call so that you don't miss out. So again, that's ashleyshaw.ca/masterclass. And that is the 4-part inviting formula. So make sure that you don't miss out, especially at a time like this where your help is so needed. You need to be able to get in front of people to be able to deliver your message. And it's just more important than ever that you have the tools and the power to do that. So guys, thank you so much for listening today. Stay safe, stay healthy, and support each other. And we'll see you next time on Social Selling Simplified.